Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Welcome to Overcomers Broadcast. I want to welcome you to this special Sunday service. And I trust the Lord that wherever you are hearing or watching, the Lord is going to bless you this morning. Can we lift our hands unto the Lord as we worship Him and thank Him for another Sunday service that we're having online? This is the blessing of the Lord upon us. We thank you, Lord. We bless your holy name. In the name of Jesus, we give you thanks. We give you praise, Father. Thank you, O God. Thank you for your preservation in this season. Thank you, Father, for your preservation in this season. In Jesus' precious name, I have prayed. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you because your word is light. And the light shines in darkness, and darkness cannot overpower it. I thank you, Father, because this morning, 21st of June, your word is coming to us with power and life. And we shall not be the same again in the name of Jesus. I lift my hands to worship you, Father, because you are the good Father. You are a gracious Father. You are a kind Father. And I pray that in this season, your blessing will flow in abundance towards us afresh. In Jesus' mighty name, I have prayed. Amen. Once again, welcome to this service. Today is Father's Day. Father's Day 2020. It's a blessing to see another Father's Day. I want to wish every man, every father there a happy Father's Day. And I trust the Lord that it's going to be a refreshing Father's Day for you all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this morning, I'll be sharing on the subject of how to become a great child. Because it's Father's Day, it is important for us to know the wisdom God has given to us to become a great child. Amen. Now, last week I shared on winning through prayer. I was supposed to continue, but because today is Father's Day, I will continue winning through prayer later whilst I speak on this subject of how to become a great child on this Father's Day Sunday. Amen. Luke chapter 1, verse 31 to 32. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. If the Son of God, the Bible says, he shall be great. God's desire for you and I is to be great. God does not desire for any man to ever be a useless man. And your greatness is tied to your father. Whether you like it or not, is the truth. Now, there are 9 different types of father I want to quickly touch on. Number 1, our heavenly father. Luke chapter 11 verse 2, Jesus said, and he said unto them, when ye pray, say, our Father, which art in heaven. God is our first Father, is our heavenly Father. And the Lord Jesus said, when we pray, we should address Him as our Father. So on this Father's Day, we are also celebrating our heavenly Father. Amen.
Amen.
The second type of Father is your biological Father. The biological Father. This is the one who carries the seed with which you were born into this world. Is the carrier of the seed with which you are born into this world. So you exist in this world because of your biological father. Amen.
Amen.
The next one is your father in Christ. Your father in Christ. This is the one that led you to Christ. The one who causes you to know Jesus. The one who causes you to surrender your life to Jesus and to become born again. He led you to in the way of salvation. This is your Father in Christ. And you find that one in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 15, which says, for though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. In Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. So here you see that Paul was declaring that you may have 10,000 instructors in Christ, but yet in Christ you also have one Father.
because in Christ Jesus has He begotten us. So you have the Father in Christ, the one who led you in the way of salvation. The fourth type of father is the father in the ministry. The father in the ministry is the one who bettered you in the ministry. The one who through you became involved in the work of the Lord. The father in the ministry is the one, after you gave your life to Christ, the father in the ministry is the one who encourages you, who nurtures you to get involved in the work of the Lord and become matured in Christ. That is your father in the ministry. Your father in the ministry may be your father in Christ, and oftentimes they may not be the same person. Amen. So somebody may lead you to Christ, then God now sends you to another person to nurture you in the way of the Lord in the ministry. 1 Corinthians, for all the foundation can no man lay than that which is laid. So the father in the ministry lays the foundation for your ministerial assignment. Amen. The next father is the substitute father. Now, the substitute father is a God-sent father to you that replaces or complements the role of your biological father, who may be absent due to death, divorce, or abandonment. So beside your biological father, God sends a substitute father to play even like the role your biological father will play in your life. He's committed to you as a son will, or a father will to a biological son. These are substitute father. And substitute father, sometimes God sends them to replace the absence of a biological father, or to complement. Those are the two words. To replace or to complement. So sometimes your biological father may still be well around, you may still be living under his rule or have a good relationship with him, but yet God sends you this second father. And that's what we call the father who relate. God sent you this second father. So your biological father may not be able to talk to you about some things, but this other father may be able to talk to you about some things. Your biological father, you may not be able to confide in him in some certain areas, but this father, you also relate to him just as a biological father. That is a substitute father. The next type of father you have is the father-in-law. Now, father-in-law is father according to the law. And this is the father that is due to the person you marry. So since I married my wife, I have another father who is my father-in-law. He is like my biological father too. In the book of Exodus chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible talks about Moses. It said, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. So Moses had a father-in-law, and the father-in-law of Moses played a major role in his life, played a fantastic role in his life. So God also gives us father-in-law. Now the other type of father, which is the seventh type of father now, is a father of a church. 1 Corinthians 4:15 again says, for though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Through the gospel. So these are people who God uses to start a church. To start a church. So Paul was writing to the Corinthian church that he started. He said, I have begotten you through the gospel. So these are father in Christ. A father of a church. So God gives every church a father. Alright, they are a type of father in our lives. And oftentimes we also refer to them as spiritual fathers. The next one is father of a movement. Galatians chapter 3 verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are of the children of Abraham. So the father of a movement is the one that God used to start a movement. John Wesley started the Methodist movement. And today you have diverse types of Methodist churches all around the world. Modern day, we have the modern day faith movement. The modern faith movement is, with Papa Hagen is regarded majorly as the father of the modern day faith movement. Why? Because God used him to charter a new course to bring revival in the faith line. Amen. The next one is the father in sin. This is the one who leads you or introduces you to a life of unrighteousness, a life of sin. In fact, this is the only type of father you should never reckon with, unless there's genuine repentance and salvation. Besides that, he's not a father to be celebrated. He's not a father to be honored, because his aim is this is a devil sent father to your life, to destroy your life. So I remember growing up, I didn't know how to steal in school before, until I had a father in sin. And it was my classmate, and my pen was always missing. My pen was always missing. So I spoke to this my friend, and he said, "How come you are always having pen?" Because they used to beat me at home almost every day. I did everything about my pen, but my pen was always missing mysteriously. So he told me that he had a solution to my problem. So during the break time, he said to me that we should stay back when all the students have gone to the playground. And one after the other, he showed me how to open locks, how to open bags, how to bring out the pen, how to erase every mark that is there, recognize a pen that has been marked, then how to what to do to remove the marks and things like that. And you know, I would have been a professional thief if such people, more of such people, were in my life. You too can remember perhaps the one who led you to immorality, smoking. Those are father in sin. Now, when you're in Christ Jesus, you should not reckon with your father in sin. You can pray for them. The only time you can reckon with them is when they become saved. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, barriers to receiving a father. You see, in receiving a father, especially the first 8 type of father, there are barriers to it. This is the reason why a lot of children of God do not receive from fathers. What are the barriers to receiving from a father? Number one, age. Now, people consider that a father must be an old person. It is a lie. In fact, most people become fathers in their early stages of life. Most people become father in their early 20s. Most people get married and become biological father early in life. So, age is not a criteria of receiving a father that God has sent to your life. You should always know that. Most women give birth when they are young. It is not normal to be 50 or 80 or 60 before you start giving birth. So the fathers that God will send to most of us, spiritual fathers, biological fathers, mostly are young. Mostly will be young. Because that is how nature and how God has chosen it, that those are the productive days of their life. So never use age as a criteria to receiving or rejecting a father. That someone is old does not mean that it can be a father to you. And that someone is young does not mean that it cannot also be a father to you. So age is never a criteria. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
The second barrier to receiving a father is familiarity. Now, your friend may be a father to you. That your friend does not mean that your friend cannot be your father. Especially when it comes to being a spiritual father. Father of a movement. Father of a ministry. Father of a church. And your friend can also be your father-in-law. Yeah! So, familiarity then makes people say, "Oh, because we grew up together, how can I receive from him?" Now, I'm going to actually be centering majorly on biological father and spiritual father. Then I'll talk about other fathers, substitute. But you know that there are 8 type of fathers. So it should cover all of them. Now, so because someone is your friend, childhood friend, let's talk about ministry. And God has placed the person today in a certain position does not mean that you should keep equalizing them in your mind. You must be able to submit to the grace of God, because God has a reason why he has placed that person there and not you. I watched a man of God recently gave a car to another person. And when he was given the car, he said that, "I used to squat with this my friend. He accommodated me in his house. Say, for today, I am here. He is not at this point. But for him to come to me, he has stood the path of humility. Unlike others who will rather ridicule me and say that, oh, I have got to do rituals, I've got to do other things. He had come to me, and that is why I can help him. You see, that other friend, even when he was being presented the card, actually, I think at the point he knelt down. You know, it takes a certain understanding to know that even though you used to be friends, even though you were roommate, but now the grace of God is upon this person. And if you don't submit to it, it will not go well with the way God intends to go well with you. I remember my father, Bishop Dag, shared a story with us. He said he met another man of God who knows Archbishop Duncan Williams. And this man of God was telling him that he has done the right thing to submit to Archbishop Duncan Williams and to honor him as a father. And he said this was the mistake he made, that when they finished Bible school together, he went to the same Bible school with Archbishop Duncan Williams. And when he began to do well, and the Lord laid it upon his heart to go and submit to him and accept him as a father and learn from him. And he kept referring to him as his colleague, as his colleague, as his colleague. Today, he has not even been able to finish one church. Why? Because he was not able to accept or receive the father that God said to him. I pray for you today that the grace to be humble to receive the father that God has sent to your life, may that grace come upon you afresh.
Amen.
May that wisdom come upon you afresh.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The last barrier to receiving a father is trivialization. Now, what do I mean by trivialization? Most people have trivialized the word daddy, the word father. You can't keep calling everybody daddy. Daddy, oh, daddy this, daddy that. And you have trivialized the word. When you do that, you will not be able to receive a father the way God wants you to. Because when you say the word father now, it means nothing to you. It's just like a pet name that you use to call any elderly person or something like that. No. Fathers are not many in our lives. Don't be a man or a lady or a sister of 1,000 fathers. Fathers are supposed to be special people in our lives. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Now, how then do you become a great child? Number one, I will read Genesis chapter 9 verse 1 to you. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. God blessed Noah and his sons. See, your greatness is connected to your father. The blessing that God has placed on your father will naturally flow to you if you are a son. It's about the law of inheritance. Inheritance flows from the father to the children naturally. If a father dies suddenly, the people they will look for are his children. So God blessed Noah, and the people that God blessed are his sons, because they are connected. They are the fruit, they are the seed of Noah. This is why God sends fathers to our lives. Every father that God sends to you, when you receive them the way you ought to receive them, the blessing, the grace, the anointing they carry will naturally flow on you. I have received my father for over 18 years now since I met Bishop Dagi Ward Mills, and I say thank you, Papa, for being such a blessing to me. And a lot of things I do are things that are not even natural in our clan. When we go for Great Gospel Healing Campaign, I remember people used to say that, oh, we thought that Evangelist John Joseph is one big man. The last person we heard at Badagry, the Oba of Badagry said to us, oh, we were expecting one big man, and he could not say the rest. Of course, because he looked at me and felt, oh, is it Evangelist John Joseph they've been talking about? Because the posters were all around, and it was a very mega crusade. Well, as I stood on that platform, I realized that what a collapsed time for me is the grace of my father. The same grace upon him was flowing to me, and is still flowing to me. When I ministered at crusade, people used to say, oh, the simplicity. My father, the late Rea Bonke, who taught me very well and nurtured me for several days at his place in U.S., taught me how to preach and learned from me. He laid hands on me, imparted me. I see him as a father. I honor him as a father. He's not he's not a colleague, and I don't just say he's a father. Amen. May the grace that is upon the fathers God has sent to you, may it begin to flow to your life like a mighty river.
Amen.
Like a mighty flood. May the grace they carry flow into your life afresh.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now, how do you become a great child? Number one, cover your father's weakness. Genesis chapter 9, verse 20 to 23, New Living Translation. After the flood, Noah began to cultivate the ground and he planted a vineyard. One day he drank some wine he had made, and he became drunk and lay naked inside his tent. Verse 22. Ham, the father of Canaan, saw that his father was naked and went outside and told his brothers. Then Shem and Japheth took a robe, held it over their shoulders, and backed into the tent to cover their father. As they did this, they looked not at the nakedness of their father. They did not look at the nakedness of their father. Every father has a weakness, including your father, because they are humans. If you want to be a great child who carries the blessing of your father, one of the rules, the first one, is that you must learn to always be a type of child who does not expose the nakedness of your father. Who is not focusing on the nakedness of your father. The reason why most children do not receive from their father is because they focus on his weakness. They focus on his nakedness. Oh, my father is not a caring man. He did not send me to school. He did not pay my school fees. But what about the other things he has done for you? Oh, my father, I don't like my father because he used to beat my mother. So because of that, your father to you is a wicked person. Wow. You should take that weakness as your own project, as your own prayer point. The weakness of your father should become your own strength. But his weakness cannot be your strength if you keep ridiculing him, if you keep pulling him down, if you keep exposing his nakedness. You know, Elijah, in the book of 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 3, the Bible said that Elijah left. Verse 3. And when he saw, King James Version now, and when he saw that he arose and went for his life, and he came to Bathsheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. He was running for his life. Now, the servant that has poured water, served him all his life, he now decided to leave his servant. And that was the end. That servant did not look for him. That servant too, we did not even make effort. It was not recorded that he made effort to look for him. He must have been angry. But fast forward, here was another servant that Elijah had, which was not Elisha. The same thing played out in 2 Kings chapter 2. The Bible says that Elijah was to be taken away. And do you know, just like he did to the first servant, he did also tell the second servant too, which was Elisha. So when the 50 sons of the prophets came to Elisha and said, "Do you know your master will be taken from you?" He said, "Yes, I know." But amazingly, Elijah never said a word to Elisha. You would have thought that Elisha should have been angry that I've heard that this man of God is not a good man of God. You will serve him and he will abandon you like that. He has done that before. That was not his focus. That was not his focus. In fact, when Elijah told Elisha, "Go back," instead of becoming angry, he said, "As long as the Lord liveth, anywhere you go today, I will go with you, sir. I will follow you anywhere." Amen.
Amen.
If you try to be some of the children of today, what do you think they will have done? Oh, they will have. I'm sure that the 50 sons of prophet will have also enlightened him that, "Oh boy, this man of God, he didn't abandon people. Who? Oh boy, you cannot follow this man of God for a long time." Oh. But Elijah didn't do that. And no wonder the anointing that Elijah carried, the blessing, the mantle, did not fall on the 50. but fell on him. Why? Because he never focused on the weakness of Elijah. Today, your father is a blessing to you. Biological father, spiritual father, they are a blessing to you. There is no father that God will send to your life that will never have a weakness. Don't let the weakness hinder you from receiving what God has destined for your life. So you have to be a specialist in overlooking the weakness and becoming a specialist in covering their nakedness. And say to yourself that, oh, this thing, I'm praying for him that God will help him overcome it. And me, I'm also praying that I will not be a partaker of it. And it will also help you to know the areas of your life to address. Amen.
Amen.
The second point is never fight your father. If you want to be a great child, never fight your father. Luke chapter 17 verse 1. Then said he unto his disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. Offenses will come. Oh, there will be offenses. Your father will offend you. If your father has never offended you, you don't have a father, you have only a mentor. I will say it again. If you have never been outraged, offended by your father before, you don't have a father. You only have a mentor at least, or a celebrity. But if it's your father, you'll be offended. Because it is not about Jesus. I said, offense will come. But you must be a master in not allowing the offense to drive you into wrong decisions. Those who are driven by wrong decisions because they are offended are the Absalom children. You know, in 2 Samuel chapter 15, Absalom revolted against David, his father. Why? Because he was not satisfied with the way David handled a matter when his sister was raped. And for several years, he plotted in his heart. And the Bible said in 2 Samuel chapter 15, that whenever people come to the palace to present their case, he will bend down and kiss their hand. Which tribe are you from? Or which tribe are you from? They will mention the tribe. What is your case? And they will mention, they will pour out their heart to Absalom. And say, oh, you have a fantastic case. You have a good case. But there is no one deputed of the king to attend to this matter. If only I became a king in Israel, if only I were a king, I will make sure that this kind of injustice will not go unpunished. Watch out for those who sweet talk you. Sweet talkers are not fathers to your life. They may be father in sin, but they are not father. A father should be able to look at you eyeball to eyeball and tell you the truth, the bitter truth. You see, Absalom became an ice cream to them, telling them what they want to hear. And later on in that chapter 15, the Bible said he stole their hearts. And when he stole their heart, he led them away to fight against his father. Now, one of the things that you should know about when the devil wants to make anyone an Absalom, a son or a daughter an Absalom, is that he will also surround you with those who will encourage you in that act. The Ahithophels of this world. You see, to be an Absalom, you always need Ahithophels. Ahithophels are like even elderly people. People who you respect. People who you nurture. And yet, their role is to make sure that you execute what is in your heart. Because some of them even have their own grievances against your father, which you don't know. The Ahithophel may even be your uncle. Maybe your father's brother. Maybe your auntie. Maybe your anyone. But watch out for those who support your rebellion against your father. They are the Ahithophels of this world. They are devil sent. Because even in your heart of heart, you should wonder, how come this man has never corrected me? How come this man is always siding me? Ahithophels of this world are there to sweet talk you into doing the wrong things. Watch out for Ahithophels. Watch out for Ahithophels. You know, I know of a certain sister who said she was not going to invite his father to her wedding The excuse was that one prophet said that the father was behind the reason why she has not been able to get married. When the matter ahead of the matter, I said, no, you are doing the wrong thing. There is no father on earth that would not want to hand over the daughter out on the wedding day. So such a prophet is an evil prophet. But unfortunately, my advice was, don't. Listen to me. I pray for you today, every Ahithophel that is fanning the ember of destruction in your life, may there be a divine separation.
Amen.
May there be a divine separation.
Amen.
Offense will come, but do not let your any offense cause you to fight your father. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The next point, never abandon your father. Never abandon your father. If you want to be a great child, a great son, a great daughter, never abandon your father. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10 to 11. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescent, to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for it's profitable to me for the ministry. You see, Paul was in prison. He was no longer able to move around. And when before Paul was in ministry in prison, Demas had the opportunity to flow with Paul. Flow with Paul. He was with Paul all through. But now when the beating and the chain was becoming obvious and conspicuous, different evil news, negative news began to fly around about Paul. Demas had to let go. You see, there should not be any excuse for you to abandon your father. Even if your father has been convicted of a crime. I'm not saying support the crime, but I'm saying do not abandon your father. Some children, when their parents become sick, they abandon their parents. They abandon their father. Because now their health is fading away fast. So you see some that in those dying days, none of their children will be around them. It's a curse if you ever do that to your parents. No matter what the man or the mother or never ever abandon them. Don't abandon them to fend for themselves. Don't abandon them in the hour of their need. Even if they have committed any wrong, stand by them. That is what a true son should do. Some foolish children will say, I disown my father. You don't own your father. Your father owns you. You cannot disown what you don't own. You don't own your father. So you can never say you disown your father. It's a misconception. How can you disown your father? Your father owns you. You don't own your father. Oh, my father now is said to be a criminal. And because of that, you are now going to change your name. So that they will not be able to associate you with that father. You are making a mistake. You are walking in curse. You are walking in curse. You should still be able to say, yes, it's my father. Because you see, you should not only be happy or bold to associate with a successful father. Even the one that has not done well, you should associate with them. Some cannot go to their father's house to take pictures. Some cannot even take pictures. I remember one of the foolish things I did when I was a student. I call it foolish. I began to move with some certain boys in school that do not value their parents. So on this PTA day, my mother came to school. And my school happened to be a three-story building. So I sighted my mother from the gate. She was, to me, at that time, not properly dressed. I was in my early class, JSS class, yeah, we call it. Do you know when they came to call me in class? I said to the person, I don't know her. She's not my mother. My mother waited and waited and waited. I did not show up. Because you see, I did not want my friend to see me with what I called a mother that was not well dressed. When I got home that day, my mother sat me down and she told me the story of my life. She said to me, I can afford to buy the latest lace. I can afford to buy the latest designer. But you see, because of you and your siblings, that is why I'm not wearing the best. Do you think I don't know where they sell the best of the best shoe? And right there and there, I realized I did a foolish thing. I did a foolish thing. Some of you today, you have become a celebrity. You cannot identify with your parents anymore. You are so touched up that you cannot identify with them. It is a very wrong thing. It's a cursed thing to do. Why? Even if your mother is wearing rag and you cannot change it, still be proud to walk with her on the road. Still be proud to do the necessary thing. If no matter who your father is, be proud of your father. Because without him, you would not have existed. The success that is getting into your tiny head today is a product of him. Because he was the foundation. Our foundations are often not celebrated. Every other thing about your life today is built upon that foundation. And you cannot replace that foundation. It may be your father in the ministry. It may be your spiritual father. Today you have a bigger church than he does. Today you are more well. You have been invited to 20 countries while he has never traveled out of his own locality. He's still your father. You should be able to reference him. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That is how to become a great child. Now you realize that the acronym of what I'm sharing with you is CNNCB. So I've thought on the C, cover the nakedness of your father. I talk on the N, never fight your father. I talk on the another N, never abandon your father. Now let's look at another C now, which is celebrate your father. Celebrate your father. Philemon chapter 1 verse 10. I beseech thee, O my son, Onesimus, which I have begotten in my bonds. When Demas abandoned Paul, Onesimus stayed with him. He was not ashamed of Paul's bond. Demas ran away from the bond. Onesimus stood with Paul throughout this trying period. And Paul began to write about him. God is raising more Onesimus.
Amen.
May you become an Onesimus.
Amen.
May you not become an Absalom.
Amen.
A fighter of your father. May you not become a Judas. A murderer of father. Now let me say this. How you handle offense determines how you turn out in life. You see, from the when you look at it, when our Heavenly Father chastised Cain, he became a murderer. When David when Absalom was not okay with what David did, and he was offended, he also became a murderer. Judas was not happy with the decision of Jesus to allow the oil to be poured on his body. And because from that day, he began to scheme on how to kill Jesus. So when you are offended, your reaction determines your destiny. I just needed to chip that in again. Your reaction when you are offended determines your destiny. May you never be destroyed in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
How do you ways to celebrate your father? Number one, speak well of him. Never use your father as a bad example. Don't use your father as a sort of bad example. You are telling the story of how wasteful men are, and the person you can use is your father. Either spiritual, biological father-in-law, don't use any of your father as an illustration for bad example. It is wrong. It is wrong. Always speak well of your father. Speak well of him. Even though he has made several mistakes or did several things wrong, it is not your duty to begin to use your father as an illustration for bad example. The next way to celebrate your father is give him gifts. Malachi chapter 1 verse 6 to 7 says, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If your father is a father to you, you must give him gifts. Today, Father's Day, you should try and give your father a gift this week. Send something to him. Your gift make a way in his heart for you. The gift of a man can make it way for him. It may be a recharge card. It may be money. It may be something. But always send your father a gift. A son honoreth his father. Most young people today will say, oh, my spiritual father, I just laughed at them. You have a spiritual father, you are not servicing his ministry. You will never honor him. You never send him a token. Oh, he said, but when I look at him, he doesn't need anything. You don't send things to people because they are in need. You send things to people because you want to honor them. Amen.
Amen.
I remember one of my sons in the Lord. I rarely speak like this. Every time I'm doing my birthday, he knows the gifts to give to me that I will appreciate. This last time I celebrated my birthday, he gave me a gift. And the gift somehow stood out. There are few of them, and I told them, I said, how come these guys always knows what I like? Yet there are those I can never remember that they will ever give you something. And yet you have been a blessing to them. When it is time for them to honor you, then they come with different excuses. Well, such are not true sons. A son honoreth his father. That they have not collected my salary. When you collect your salary, after you pay your tithe and you do other things, your parents should be one of the set of people you send something to. No matter how little it may be, always endeavor to send things to your parents on a monthly basis. You cannot be living here and your parents are in the village and you have forgotten them. You are sowing a very wrong seed. And let me say this to you. How you treat your parents is how your children will treat you in good measure. Praise and shake it together and running over. So you should be very careful how you treat them. Oh, be very careful how you treat them. Treat them with respect. Treat them with honor. Amen.
Amen.
The last way to honor, to celebrate your father, is receive his word. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 1 to 4 says, "Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you a good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thy heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live." Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Value the words of your father. As long as they are not contradicting the word of God. Recently, something happened to one of my children in the Lord. And as I began to meditate on the unfortunate thing that happened in his life, the Lord reminded me that the reason why that particular affliction is finding its way into his life is that he despises my words. And the Lord reminded me of an advice I have given. I said, go and do this concerning this. And he said, yes, sir. And do you know the amazing thing? He went rather and did the opposite and went underground. Several years have gone. He has fallen into an unnecessary evil. You see, your father's word is his most valuable treasure for you. And to you. Not even his property. Not even his money. Heaven and earth may pass away, but not one jot of my word. Do not trivialize your father's words. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. That was God's greatest gift to us, the word. You can imagine what Christianity would have looked like today without the Bible. God's word remains the most valuable treasure in our life. Your father's word remains the most valuable treasure to you. I remember another one of my children. He has taken a decision. And I said to him, make a U-turn. This place you have taken, forgo it. And he said to me later, I said, it was very painful. Now look at it. Hard instruction actually shows whether you are his son or not. In the book of John chapter 6 verse 16, the Bible says that when Jesus spoke to them, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can handle it? And from that day, they desist in following Christ. May you not have an ice cream father.
Amen.
Who will only tell you what you want to hear and what you love and not what God wants you to hear. And when those hard instructions comes your way, they may be difficult. But oftentimes, go and pray about it. Open your heart to receive. Not only the easy decisions or instructions or corrections, but even the hard one. I've had one of my spiritual father rebuke me publicly. That doesn't mean that I will turn away from him. I've had another one refusing to recognize me in a public, and I was calling him. But that doesn't mean he's not my father. You see, these are fundamental principles. You have a spiritual father, you don't listen to his messages. No, you are not a son. A son will value the words of his father. So do not despise his word. Value his word. Honor his word. Value his correction. Honor his correction. Value his counsel. These are all the greatest treasures your father has for you. You can imagine if you have ever grown up without a correction in your life, oh, you will have amounted to. Especially those moments you thought you knew everything, but you are actually walking in foolishness. Today I pray that every spirit of foolishness that is making you reject godly advice, may it be uprooted in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now, so we are CNN, B, and now C, which is the final point. The first one that I talked about on how to become a great child is what? Cover your father's weakness. The next one, never fight your father. Never abandon your father is the third one. And now celebrate your father. Now the fifth one is blessing. Blessing. Seek after your father's blessing. The power that your father has can never be taken away from him. And that is the power to bless and to curse. It lies with the father. So you must be a specialist in doing things that will make your father speak favorable words into your life. Be a specialist in doing things that will make your father speak blessing into your life. Genesis chapter 27, verse 33. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, "Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest. And I have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. I have blessed him. Yea, he shall be blessed." Whenever you honor your father, let me read Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 16 to you. Let me show you what happens. Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord God giveth thee. That's the power that your parents have. Say, honor them. When they speak those blessings to your life, and they say, it shall be well with you. It shall be well with you. There are times that they may not even speak. But the ministry you honor, the anointing you honor, the position you honor, their hearts begin to bless you. They may not even know what you have been doing, but their heart will always bless you. I remember some years ago, I was in some critical need. So I decided to travel to see my father in Ghana. And unfortunately, I was not able to see him. But you see, when I was going, I did not go empty-handed. At that time, there was nothing like Semovita or Semolina in Ghana. So I bought about 25 kg or 50 kg of that Semolina, 25 kg, about two. So imagine you carry two Ghana must go of about four of such thing from Nigeria to Ghana with different things. And when I got to his office then, I was not able to see him. But I dropped it with the secretary. I dropped my offering. And I went to the altar to pray. It was a critical moment in my life as a servant of God. It was an enemy that was fighting me that was bigger than me. Oh, when I knelt there, I began to cry. And I call upon the God of my father, who I honor, to also answer for me. Listen to me. When I returned to Nigeria, What took several months and went unsolved? I think within 2 weeks. In fact, by the time I went to where the Lord sent me to, the man I met said to me that, God is so powerful. He appeared to me in a dream that somebody is coming to ask for a favor from you tomorrow. Make sure you don't turn him down. So the Lord went ahead of me, appeared to the person that can do me a favor, and told him not to turn me down. Why? Because also there was a blessing following me. I pray for you. May the blessings of the womb begin to follow you.
Amen.
May the blessings of the anointing begin to follow you.
Amen.
May the blessings of the ministry begin to follow you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, may blessings accompany you.
Amen.
May blessings open door for you.
Amen.
And every seed of curse that you have sown, curse that have provoked spoken words, curses that have provoked causes that have provoked groanings and moanings, I pray today, may the mercy of God erase it over your life. In the name of Jesus, may the mercy of God erase it upon your life. In the name of Jesus, may you find favor.
Amen.
Because of the blessings.
Amen.
CNNBC, cover the nakedness of your father. Never abandon your father. Never fight your father. And the fourth one is what? So erase this part. Never fight your father. Celebrate your father. And seek after your father's blessing, which is the B. Seek after blessings. Week in, week out, endeavor that your fatherhood figure are speaking to your life. There should not be months you don't hear the word, "I should be well with you." There should not be more that you don't hear, "I make my spiritual father speak to my life. I make my biological father speak to my life." It doesn't matter where they are. Do the things that will make them speak words. Listen to me. Noah spoke words over Ham. I don't know whichever way you can explain the predicament of Africa, because they are the descendant of Ham. But something must be wrong in Africa. I don't know whatever you want to call it. But if it's not the effect of a curse, something must be wrong in Africa, the most blessed continent, yet the poorest of all. May blessings open new door for you.
Amen.
May blessings open door for you.
Amen.
In this Father's Day, go honor your father. Say thank you to him for sending you to school. Say if he did not send you to school, say thank you, Father, for being a daddy to me. Send messages to them. Call them. Honor them. Buy gift for them. And you will see. And it should not just be a Father's Day thing. It should become a lifestyle. And you will amount to become a great child.
Amen.
Your greatness will be unstoppable.
Amen.
Your greatness will be unmatchable.
Amen.
May the Lord, who has said that when you honor your father and your mother, it will be well with you. May he, our heavenly Father, also multiply his blessing over your life.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lift your hands and just thank the Lord. Bless his holy name. Give him thanks. Give him praise. Give him thanks. Oh, Father, we bless your holy name. We bless your holy name. Hallelujah. We give him praise. We give him glory. We give him honor. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness. Hallowed be thy name, O God. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, O God. Thank you, O God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name I have prayed.
Amen.
Now, before I close, I want to pray for you. If you are not born again, our Heavenly Father wants to receive you. If you want to, if you do not know Jesus, our Heavenly Father wants to save your soul. So today, I want to welcome those who would like to give their life to Jesus. Now, there is somebody watching me right now. You have really rebelled against your father. Your relationship with your father has gone sour. Today, go and apologize. Don't wait for your father to apologize to you. You need him more than he needs you. Go and tell him sorry. Let him speak words of blessing. Let him pray for you, and it shall be well with you in Jesus' name. Now I want to pray for those who would like to give their life to Jesus. If you want Jesus to step into your life as your Lord and personal Savior, you want to accept the Son of God into your life as your Lord and Savior, you want to say, you want to make a U-turn, place your right hand on your chest. I want to pray for you. As I pray with you today, I believe that Jesus is going to step in.
Amen.
Because he said, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved." So say this once after me. Say,
Heavenly Father,
I thank you for the opportunity
to experience
the new life in Christ.
Today,
Heavenly Father, I come to you
just as I am.
I open the door of my heart to you,
and I believe your word
that says,
with the mouth,
confession
is made
unto salvation.
I believe your word
that says,
whosoever
shall call upon the name of the Lord
shall be saved.
Today,
Lord Jesus,
I call upon
your name.
Please come into
my life
and
be my Lord
and
my personal Savior.
Wash
all my sins away
with
your precious blood.
And
please write my name
in
the book of life.
Thank you,
Lord Jesus,
for saving
my soul today.
I declare
that I am
born again.
I have the
life of Christ in me.
I have the
nature of God in me.
I am a
new creation.
All things
are passed away.
All things have
become new.
Thank you,
Lord Jesus,
for saving
my soul.
In Jesus'
precious name.
Amen.
Amen.
Congratulations.
If you just pray that
prayer, I tell you
the Lord Jesus has saved
your soul. Please
write to us at
rgci_hq
and then
at gmail.com
and send us
a mail at rgcihq@gmail.com.
Send us a mail.
The email are on the
screen right now.
And we'd like to hear from you.
We'd like to send you any
of our materials
that can help you
become a
stronger Christian.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Now
I want us to now
give an offering.
You see,
this
coronavirus
period
is also
a period
where the Antichrist
is waging war
against the church.
The church
was supposed to have been
open today,
but they said
the church is not open.
The markets are
open.
The banks are
working.
Because,
you see, as for
government, they can generate
revenue in all
those places.
Most of the
government agencies are not
shut down.
But you see,
probably because they are not
able to tax the church,
or they are not
generating revenue from the
church,
they are now
painted it as though the
church is the reason
why the virus was
spread.
I checked
the BRT bus in
Lagos State here the
other day.
At first, when the
coronavirus started, they
said that there will be social
distancing in the buses.
But when
they began to see that they were
losing revenue,
if you
go and watch BRT
buses, that there's nothing like
social distancing, and they
return back
to the normal sitting
arrangement.
Is it that the
virus cannot
spread in the bus?
I am not
saying that we should not
obey the rules,
but I'm saying
that when you see
Antichrist policy,
we should wake up.
We should wake up.
But the Bible
says that Jesus will
build this church,
and
the gates of
hell shall not
prevail against it.
So I
want you to continually
give to support the
church. Do not
let the voice
of the church be silent.
Continue
to pay your tithe.
Continue to
give your offering.
Continue
to fight for the
church
to advance.
We
will not become a
godless nation.
Amen.
And the aim
of the devil
to use this
virus thing
to weaken
the church is
failing in
Jesus' name.
Amen.
So I want to
encourage you
to keep giving,
to keep supporting,
to keep
helping the work of
God to advance.
So today, don't
just transfer
offering.
The last time I checked,
I realized that the
offering
is not the way it used to
be.
No, decide to
give quality offering.
Keep the word
of God flowing.
Keep the word of God
alive.
And I see the
blessing of God
flowing towards
you the more
in Jesus' name.
So this morning,
I want to give 1,000 naira
anywhere you are.
Give
more than you normally
give.
Give with a
grateful heart,
and the Lord will come to
bless you
as you support
His work
in Jesus' name.
Now let me pray.
Father, thank you for your
people that are giving
today.
Thank you
for your blessing
that is accompanying
us and following us.
I thank
you for every tither,
that your
blessing will not
cease to flow towards
them in the name of
Jesus.
I thank you for
every offering
giver,
those who are
supporting your work.
Lord,
cause men to give to
their bosom good
measure.
Press down,
shake it together,
run it over.
The
evil of this
season will not
be your portion.
It will
continue to pass
over you and your
household
because of
the blood of Jesus.
So shall it be.
In
Jesus' name
we have prayed.
Amen. I am
really grace.
So am I.
I'm above only.
Never
this is my year of
laughter. I know
no sorrow.
My joy knows
no bounds. There's no
room for sorrow in my
life.
Hallelujah.
I remain victorious.
Hallelujah.
I remain victorious.
God bless you.